We welcome you to this week's service from Morrisville United Methodist Church. What it means to walk in the Christian faith and how to share that message has never been easy. More often than not, sacrifice has been required. In this week's sermon, entitled "What Will You Sacrifice For?", our certified lay minister, Jen Robinson O'Brien, asks us that very question. What are you willing to sacrifice towards sharing the gospel in these times? We will now join our certified lay minister with this week's service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Jen Robinson O'Brien, and I'm a certified lay minister, and I'm here stepping up while Pastor Beth is on a much needed and deserved vacation. If you are new to our church, we have these lovely little cards, or if you have updated information, you should be able to find them in the pew. And we ask that you fill it out so that we can reach out and be in fellowship with you. We also have prayer request cards, and those are also in the pew. So if you have a prayer you want to lift up, we have a very active prayer ministry in this church, and we invite you to do that as well. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Hear these words. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of those little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Good morning. I joke about a lot of things, but I've picked up a very strange hobby. I take seminary classes. These classes are master level, graduate level classes that involve 20 page papers. I do this for fun. I know I'm a little bit of an odd duck. If you've spent 5 minutes with me, I see the faces out there. You're like, yep, that's pretty accurate. But really, I love learning, and though it's a lot of work, it's really pretty low stakes. These classes have given me a perspective and a context to the Bible, and especially the disciples. I mean, let's take a moment to really walk in their shoes. Here are these guys that are kind of normal guys like you and I, who this stranger from a backwater town says, hey, come along with me. We watch him do all these amazing things, and they just go. It's a fun mental exercise thinking about it in the abstract. After all, it was a long time ago, right? And one of the super interesting things about the Gospels is the disciples' reactions are painted a little bit differently in each of the Gospels. Again, something I can relate to. But just imagine again, your boss phones you up tonight. Hey, I'm sending you out. You've got to go to this area, foreign area, you don't speak the language, and they're going to call you names, but don't worry. Oh, they might kill you, but that's okay. You got this. Right? I'm seeing the faces. How many people would resign? No, thank you. No. It sounds impossible. Sounds like a lot of sacrifice. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, please pray with me. Not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to these people. The gospel tells us the life of Jesus. We all know this, right? But what's interesting is the focus of the gospel is super interesting. For example, did you know not all four gospels talk about his birth? Look it up. Did you know not every gospel has every famous parable? Kind of cool. I love looking at these differences and wondering about the choices in the creation of each of the gospels. I will blame the English teacher in me for that. But the way the disciples react are also characterized differently when you read each gospel. In John, they're his beloved friends. In Luke, I love this one, they're spirit-formed witnesses. Kind of want to aspire to be that. In Mark, they're individuals with hard hearts that have to be softened to follow. And in Matthew, they're individuals who want to understand. They really do. But they're those of little faith. In fact, in Matthew 8:26, he famously says, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Doesn't that resonate with how we live our lives? I know there are some days I feel like Jesus' best friend. I can call him up on the phone, complain about my day. It's great. And then there are those days when I really resonate with the disciples from Matthew. I have learned a lot in my short life, and yet I have those moments of little faith where getting out of the boat to walk on water seems like it's not happening, especially in this modern setting where so many voices scream, and they scream really ugly things, don't they? And suddenly living out Christ's teachings and can be seen as political and can be seen as dangerous. These short verses that I read today come at the end of what is known as Matthew's missionary discourse, in which Jesus charges the disciples to go out and, I quote, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you are received, freely you are given. Matthew 10:8. It is a laundry list of things to do, places to go, and warnings of the troubles to come. He even goes as far to say, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." Matthew 10:22. At the end of all this, he offers what rewards they will obtain. It isn't on the material plane. Again, let's go back to that fun mental exercise. Can you imagine being asked to do all these things with the knowledge that you're going to be hated, you're going to be scourged? That's verse 17. That's being whipped by a barbed whip and brought before the legal system. But don't worry, God's got you. Not now. Well, now, but heavenly reward. What a tremendous amount of faith these disciples had. And what a tremendous calling they were given. The acts of faith to show what they sacrificed for. If we focus on the four verses I read, it seems pretty straightforward. A discussion on hospitality, right? Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. In other words, someone welcomes the disciples, they're welcoming God. But this is what's interesting. This part of the discourse isn't directed to the people who are receiving the disciples. Who is it sent to? Uh-oh, there's audience participation. Who is Jesus talking to? The disciples. Okay? So, in other words, when someone welcomes the disciples, they're welcoming God. This part of the discourse isn't directed towards the others, but spoken to the disciples being sent out into a community in which they've been told they will be hated by all for my name's sake. These words are a promise to the disciples that after all they do, after all they've been charged to, that laundry list, you know, heal the sick, exorcise demons, go to all those places, they're going to be rewarded. This reward isn't the monetary reward of the earth, but the reward of the righteous. What does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. Matthew 13:43 states, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Matthew 25:34 goes on to say, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world.'" These last four verses look a whole lot different when we're looking at the discourse, right? Yes? You all are staring at me. It's a little bit less of, hey, treat my missionaries well, and a lot more, this is going to be hard, really, really hard, but don't worry, I got you. So how does that translate to us? After all, we're not in the ancient world. We're not charged to go out into the world and heal the sick, preach the kingdom of heaven, cleanse. Oh, wait. Let's look at something uncomfortably recent. We're about to get a little uncomfortable. Spoiler alert. On January 23rd of this year, there was an interfaith protest against federal violence. According to the United Methodist News, 50,000 people from across the United States took to Minneapolis's icy streets to peacefully call for ICE to clear out. 100 clergy were arrested while engaging in nonviolent civil disobedience. The United Methodist Council of Bishops wrote a public condemnation of the violence, stating, "Scripture reminds us that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer with them." 1 Corinthians 12:26. As a connectional church, we are reminded we are one body that cares for and needs each other. The whole body is suffering right now, today. The violence being perpetrated on our streets, the loss of safety, and the inhumane treatment of God's children are hurting us all. We cannot stay silent in the face of the evils of our day. They continue to state, "Our social principles are clear. We reject governmental use of threats, extortion, unlawful detentions, extrajudicial killings, and other forms of coercion to silence political opponents and those objecting to unlawful or immoral government policies and practices." They further affirm the church has been the right and responsibility to educate and equip its members to be advocates for justice in the wider world. And that is a quote from the Book of Discipline, paragraph 163. It's a modern example of what Jesus warned the disciples about, isn't it? Hatred brought before councils, persecution. I know I don't have the courage to sacrifice like those 50,000 people did or those 100 clergy did. Sadly, there are other examples of clergy being arrested for praying. Courage to potentially lose my job, which has already been threatened. To bring scrutiny down on my family, especially since large parts of my family are parts of those targeted communities in today's society. I wish I did. But that's what God called the disciples to do. And in turn, what we are called to do. The summons is a song found on 2130 in The Faith We Sing. We sing it a lot. I invite you to reflect on the words in the light of this chapter and these verses. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you, in you and me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare, Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? And the final verse goes on to say and to challenge the singer to sing, Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Jesus called his disciples to go into the world. We are in turn called. We're not called to do the easy, to read the stories, to write the papers, to sit comfortably, to go out and heal the sick, and go into the hard areas, and to go into places where we will be hated for speaking the word, to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously. So before we leave today, I want to leave you with three questions to carry into the week. First, what is Christ calling you to that? What is Christ calling you to that you've been avoiding because it might cost you something? What are you protecting that you're unwilling to place in God's hands? Your comfort, your reputation, your security, your voice. And finally, if following Jesus requires sacrifice this week, not someday, but this week, would your answer be yes? Because discipleship has never been about comfort. It's been about trust. Jesus never promised the disciples an easy road. He promised them his presence and a heavenly reward. And that same promise is ours today. So this week, may we have the courage, and this is our catchphrase in the Methodist Church, to love boldly, to serve joyfully, to lead courageously. And when Christ calls our name, may our answer be yes. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we know you place a call on all of our lives. And we know that call is not necessarily an easy call, and the road you call us to is not an easy road. But we know that you wait for us at the end. Help us have the courage to step onto that road, to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously. And all God's people did say, Amen. I invite you to affirm your faith with me. The modern affirmation found 885 in our hymnal, or the words are on the board. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, and to the end, the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. And now I send you out as a people who will answer the summons, and you will answer the summons, and you will love boldly, lead courageously. And I offer this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's service. Mooresville United Methodist Church has services at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can participate along with us either in person or online via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MooresvilleUMC. If you'd like to support Mooresville United Methodist Church financially, there are a variety of ways. You can give in person, online at www.easytithe/MooresvilleUMC, or by texting donate to 540-300-1616. Sermons can also be seen via the church website at www.mooresvilleumc.org. Audio versions of past sermons get uploaded to the church website regularly. If none of these options work for you, you can listen to the sermons on the radio on 97.9 FM in the church parking lot. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and we remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.